Welcome to the podcast service of Sydney's FM 103.2. Available on the web at fm1032.com.au.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Very good. Now, question straight up. Why did you make the big move to Australia?
I just wanted to.
Really?
Okay.
There's no other underlying reason?
To be honest, literally one day I was spending a lot of time over here and had a lot of good friends out here at church where I am now, and just stepped off the plane one day and just kind of felt peace. And one of my friends turned around to me and said, "Do you feel that?" And I said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "You know, it feels like the start of a new season." And I was like, "Yeah." And on that trip, I made the decision to move and moved 6 weeks later, and it was one of the best things I've ever done. So, yeah.
We're glad that you saw the light and came over to the West Island of New Zealand.
That's right.
Or we like to call New Zealand the 10th and 11th states.
That's right.
No, just kidding. Actually, do you prefer New Zealand or Australia? We have to ask that.
Well, I don't think you can choose. You can't make it. Well, you can't prefer one or the other, because obviously the country that you're born and bred in is a huge part of who you are. And I love New Zealand and still think that it's the greatest country on earth. But choose to live in Australia and love it here. And Sydney is home for me now. I've been here for 3 years and I'm not moving.
Now, you're 23 years old.
Getting on.
You're 19 with What to Do with Daylight. Your songs have so much depth, so much meaning. I don't know how you expected to answer this question, but I'd love to know, how can a 23-year-old have so much depth and understanding and life experience and knowledge?
Well, I probably wouldn't say that about myself, but, I just believe that God orchestrates your steps and never gives you anything that you're not ready for. This is one of the things that I was made to do and created to do and purpose to do, and I believe that God's timing is perfect and his ways are higher than ours, and this is the place that he's brought me to, and the way that he's kind of gifted me to write, and I just take no credit for it, really.
Did you expect it to be so big? Because, look, when I was over in New Zealand, I was there for January for 3 weeks, and every town we went to and every city, we turned the radio on and there was you. There was you, there was you, there was you. And we're going, New Zealand is so proud of you, and the rest of the world is cottoning on to who Brooke Fraser is. Did you expect it to be that big?
Well, the thing is, I never put anything past God. I'm very much aware that this isn't about me or selling my albums or building a profile for myself, but it's about expanding God's kingdom and I'm under no illusions that it's about anything else other than that. So I just kind of wake up each day and commit myself to the Lord again and don't worry about the rest.
When did songwriting start for you?
I've been playing for a long time and I'd always found that music was, for some reason, just a language that I felt fluent in and felt like I could express myself better through, you know, the tips of my fingers on a piano or through my voice than I could through trying to explain what it was that I was feeling or thinking about. So I'd, you know, come home from school and just go to the piano and shut the door and be there for hours and time would just while away and I wouldn't even notice. Eventually kind of songs began to emerge just from that. And we've kind of gone from there. I went to Africa for the first time in 2005 to Rwanda, and really had just felt compelled to go. And that trip was really really formative for me, and really had an impact on me at a foundational level. And I've never really kind of been the same since. And Rwanda holds a very special place in my heart. Issues surrounding poverty and injustice are. That's something that really fire me up, and so I kind of try and use my position as a musician to make people aware of that and to draw attention to it and compel people's hearts to tangible action.
And of course, this inspired you into song as well.
Mm.
Tell us about Albertine.
Albertine is the name of an orphan that I met on my first trip there, and basically my friend Joelle introduced me to her and said, looked at me and said, "Brooke, you must go back to your people and you must write a song and I will tell you what the name of the song is going to be." And then he said, "This is Albertine." So it was really a song that wasn't even my idea. And I don't even feel like it was Joelle's idea. I feel like this is a song that I was born to write in some ways. So then went on and made the record and decided to name it for her as well. Hence the name Albertine.
Now, when you perform, Brooke, I had the luxury of being at the Hillsong recording a little while ago, and I noticed that you took your shoes off before you performed. Is that normal?
Probably not.
Okay.
I was just wondering, because you know Delta Goodrum does that with her piano.
Oh, gross. Someone else said that to me. No. Ooh.
Okay. Well, no, she doesn't put her shoes on the piano.
I think our reasons are probably very, very different.
Okay, so you wouldn't want to play a piano that someone else is barefooted on or anything like that?
No, I don't mind that. Although I actually am maybe slightly OCD, so perhaps I would.
Do you wipe the piano keys down before you have a play?
No, I'm not that bad. I just have problems with, like, touching metal. I don't like touching metal, like on doors and stuff.
All right.
I'll often, on bathroom doors, I'll get like a piece of my clothing and open the door with that as a barrier, a protective barrier.
Okay. What's one of the funniest things
you said, okay, like with a little bit of contempt in your voice
there. Oh, no.
No, it wasn't. It's all right. You're speaking to Aaron, who's obsessive compulsive as well. So.
I'm a bit of a clean freak.
Empathy. Yeah,
that's right. Whereas I just look at Aaron and go, okay. Moving right along. What's one of the funniest things that you've seen anywhere in while you've been performing or some people that you've met? What's a funny story for us?
Oh, gee. Well, it's never really... It's pressure when you ask for a funny story, because if you tell a story and it happens to be funny, that's a bonus. If you ask for a funny story, oh, my gosh. Let me think. Okay, well, this is actually... Okay, I don't know, mate. Maybe this is my sixth sense of humour. It's not... It's actually funny and quite horrible, but I kind of laughed. But we were in Rwanda... I was in Rwanda again last year as part of Hope Rwanda, and with my... friends as part of Hillsong United, and we were at the side of the stage in Kigali and about to do a big rally, and Luke, our tour manager, got out the, you know, the mosquito repellent and was going to give myself and Annie, another of our singers, a bit of a covering because the sun was going down and the mosquitoes were coming out and stuff. But in Rwanda, like, I remember the first time I went and I got out mosquito repellent, and they just said, the locals asked me, what is that? And I told them, and they just started laughing. They thought it was the most ridiculous thing they'd ever heard of. So it's not a widely kind of spread product over there or anything. So we're standing at the side of the stage, and Luke starts spraying this insect repellent on myself and Annie, and then this cloud of it wafted its way into these little kids, little Rwandan kids, and they started coughing, and we were like, oh no, we realized that it kind of, but then because they're not used to the chemicals, they started, their eyes started watering, and then they started vomiting.
Oh, that's awful.
And so we'd come to this country, you know, to try and, like, minister and help, and then we'd made these poor little children who probably don't even have enough food or drink. They started vomiting, like, and crying and coughing, and we were like, Annie and I were like, oh, no, and we started, like, trying to, like, we're waving our hands furiously in the air trying to dispel the cloud of chemicals, but it was like they were frozen in place and just coughing and crying and vomiting, and it was horrible, but it was pretty funny at the same time.
But you know what? They'll remember that for the rest of their lives, Brooke.
Yeah, hopefully not with a deep sense of despair.
Just quickly, I guess, to finish up, you do a lot of work with Hillsong.
Mm.
Do you get lots of enjoyment out of that?
With Hillsong.
Sorry?
I guess I'm a part of the church family there, so it's definitely not work for me. I'm part of the body of Christ, and I absolutely believe that God has given each of us gifts and talents and personalities, and that we're called to the world, but that we're also called to build the church of God. And so, you know, I'm just part of the fabric there at Hillsong, at my church, and I'm there week in, week out, and serving, and however that looks, whether that's worship leading or songwriting or, you know, cleaning rubbish off the floor or whatever's needed. So, I'm just kind of part of the furniture there.
As a musician, an artist, a songwriter, a messenger, what's the one thing that you want to get across?
Jesus.
Simple as that.
Yep.
Brooke Fraser, it's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you this morning.
Thank you for having me.
We hope you enjoyed this FM 103.2 podcast. To listen to more great audio, visit fm1032.com.au.